Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller.
Oh, mama!
Trent Condon.
Four.
This is Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station. 106.3 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody. Just after 11 o'clock on a Monday morning, it's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller. Talk sports with you for the next couple of hours. Appreciate you giving us some of your time here this morning into the afternoon. The BMW of Des Moines guest list shapes up like this. We will talk to Scott Docterman at the bottom of the hour. He was at Carver yesterday. Banged out building. Boy, looked good on TV. Sounded good on TV. Scott Docterman on that. He's got a brand new piece, five or six things to look for as spring practice for the Hawkeyes. Football-wise starts on Wednesday. Doc coming up here at 11:30. Rob Doster, national perspective on what we've seen over the first 4 days of this glorious spectacle that we know as March Madness. Doster from the Field of 68 will help us out with that. And then Nick Olson will dot I's and cross T's on the Cyclone men and women, as both of those two squads had their season come to an end over the weekend. You were downtown.
I was.
Wells Fargo Arena. Des Moines showed out again. That was one of my bigger takeaways. The games were good.
Yes,
that was, maybe as important as anything. But just the national media that I happened to follow on Twitter that happened to be here over the weekend. You know, this whole Iowa Nice thing. It's real. There is such a thing as I love the way when our city shows out the way that it did. And Wells Fargo, Chris Connolly, and all of your staff down there did a great job. Everybody, all the support staff, the police that were asked to, to go around with it. Everybody that was involved. Traffic, getting the building ready, getting Des Moines, sprucing it up, putting a fresh coat of paint. Whatever you did to make our city shine, it certainly did. And well done, and I can't wait for it to come back.
Yeah, weather wasn't great. And yet,
that's true, but that was nothing we can do.
Nothing you can do about it. Yeah, I mean, wish it'd be pushed back or just things, it happens. It's Iowa, it's March. Those kind of things are going to happen. But yeah, talking to a lot of the fans, being around and just getting their perspective of things, glowing reviews from Kansas fans to Arkansas fans that were all fired up even before the game and leading into it. What an experience that was. The Penn State-Texas game down to the wire.
Oh my God, what a game.
We get a cover on a four-point play late. We love that one.
Oh, you did love that one?
That, okay. That was big.
Yeah, the four-point play. How about the play last night? Speaking of betting on sports,
.7.
The Gonzaga TCU all-timer.
That will live in infamy. Yeah. The ball rolled all the way to the three-point
line.
That's
incredible. Do something, for God's sakes. But they, you know, that's the last thing on their minds, right? You know, maybe one of my bigger takeaways from the weekend was Matt Painter.
Yeah.
Half a second left. Timeout. Goes, gets the whiteboard, trying to draw up a five-point play with a half a second left. I mean, I guess it's just a creature of habit or whatever, but what a phenomenal weekend, Trent. Mm-hmm. Felt awful for Drake. They if it would have shoulded it. They just, I don't know, they gagged down the stretch. The athleticism clearly took over for Miami because they could not solve the press. But their shots started to come up short.
Yeah.
And they started to get, at least for how I see it, tight. Right, they looked tight down the stretch when they realized they were on the cusp. I felt bad for Drake. I felt bad for Tucker DeVries. The similarities between Tucker DeVries' one and done and Adam Emenecker's one and done. Both win the Larry Bird Trophy as the player of the year in the conference. Emenecker goes out and he goes 0-10, although he did have a double-double in the game. 14 points and he had 11 points, 14, whatever he did. But Tucker DeVries made one shot and he's better than this. But just for whatever reason, was not his days. Felt bad for him. Felt bad for Drake. Miami escaped. And then you see Miami, what they did yesterday. Survive in advance, right?
We easily could be talking about a Sweet 16 team. And my biggest concern going into the Miami-Drake game was not athleticism. It was not the backcourt that a lot of people are pointing at, or the big four Miami being able to go out there, and he was good.
Amir was,
yeah.
And the guards weren't that. I mean, Wong didn't score until late in the game.
Right. Drake did a great job defensively on them.
Yep.
It was Jim Larranega.
Yeah.
That was the one that I kept going back to, because I love Drake in this matchup, but Larranega in March.
Oh, boy.
He is a different animal.
Yep.
Elite Eight a year ago. Mm-hmm. Back to the Sweet 16.
How
the
old
final
is he?
Four.
70 what?
I think 71. Was it that old?
I don't know. I thought.
Because I think he got the job and he was 62 or 63 when he got the job. But He's a wizard.
Yes, he is.
He is an excellent coach, 73 years old, yeah, for Jim Larranaga, and doing it at a place that does not have a whole lot of basketball success.
No.
You look at the career that this guy has and putting that press on, bringing the pressure up. DeVries had that one shot just off the top of the key. And like you said,
it was
just
a perfect
short.
Look. A perfect look.
You know, I had this question for you. When we all encompass the three teams that got there this year, who should be the most disappointed being one and done?
Drake.
And that's where I went to. And when it kind of popped into my mind, we got the Iowa angle, the Sweet 16, and how vulnerable at the time Houston looked. Now, second half of the game, a little bit different against Auburn, but had that angle. Of course, Iowa State. Finally, maybe they figured it out.
But you know what, Trent? And this is going to sound really stupid to say, because Baylor's part of the Big 12, but if they weren't, I mean, look at their record. Exactly. It's a good thing Baylor's in the conference.
Yeah. Or they'd be in the NIT.
Right.
Yeah, probably. That's the reality of the situation.
They just matched up well with them. But the other games, what were they, eight? Out of their last 11 games, they lost eight of them or something, and two of the wins were over Baylor?
Yeah, that'd be right. Yeah, absolutely. And then you get to Drake. You have this group with Roman Penn being...
the veteran presence. Everybody comes back for one more kick at the can.
Garrett Sturts.
Yes.
And Wilkins. And you have this group. And then you have the lingering, is this it for Darren DeVries at Drake? And that means if Darren goes, Tucker goes too.
Yep.
He's not going to stick around.
I would be very shocked. Yes.
If Pops takes another job. So you have that component too. And then the way the game played out on top of it. Just in control.
Yes, they were.
Throughout 36 minutes of the game. That they're going to punch their ticket. They're going to be our... this is going to be the salve on what was turning into an awful weekend for the state of Iowa.
Oh, boy.
And they were going to be the team. And then those last...
6 minutes or 4 or 5 minutes, whatever it was. They started, the shots started to hit the front of the rim. And you could just see this team is tight. And then Larranaga puts on the press, and it's just like they'd never seen it before. Mm-hmm. They were just out quick to the basketball. You know what? They got there. They all got there. TJ Otzelberger, 2 years, two tournaments, one Sweet 16, second weekend last year, as we know. Just a stinker. Just an awful, awful game against Pitt on Friday. I mean, as bad a game as you're going to see. I mean, Holmes gets a couple in garbage time, or that game ends up in the 30s, for crying out loud, for Iowa State. We talked about Iowa on Friday. That was a stinker. Just disappointing. Iowa State women go out. Drake play in Louisville as tough as they possibly could. Lose that one later. That game went to overtime. And then Iowa women on the floor yesterday. Mm-hmm. Carver banged out building.
I had a lot of the thoughts of Creighton a year ago the round of 32.
Yeah, you almost had to, right? Yeah, because I've been there, done that.
Yes, and that Georgia team, how about alma mater, Iowa?
Yes, the women's, the coach, yeah. You know what,
And how about the 1-2 punch he played for? Started her career at Georgia, played for Andy Landers, an all-timer, a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I didn't realize that's where she came to Iowa from. Okay.
And then she went and she transferred and played for C. Vivian Stringer to wrap it up. I mean, you think she's got a little basketball acumen?
I'll say.
And that zone gave Iowa absolute fits. Mm-hmm. And they switched it around. They put Caitlin in the high post for a while, but then they get it over into the wing and they wouldn't take a shot. Warnock and Gabby Marshall, they kept them with that slightly throughout the first half because Clark was not playing very well.
Nope.
Zanano was not playing at the level that we're used to for her. Mm-hmm. And though they turned it on a little bit more in the second half, that was a tough, tough game. And then last night, what am I watching? I'm flipping back and forth and I'm watching
you are
Stanford.
Watching for the next opponent. Were you? Good for you.
I flipped over there just because I saw on Twitter somebody said, hey, Ole Miss is up 8. Mm-hmm. So I flipped over there. That Ole Miss team, they're tough. I mean, they're like that Georgia team.
Cooked.
Yeah, they're like Georgia, but maybe even a tick better, at least the way they played last night. I never believed that Iowa could get to a Final Four with the draw. When the draw came out, because Stanford, with their length, their athleticism, their size, it just is not a good matchup for the Iowa women. Now, they're gone.
Open, you would think, right?
And it opens up. Yeah. Now, Duke, who they'll get the winner of Duke, Colorado in the Sweet 16.
And that's,
it'll probably be Duke.
Okay.
They play tonight, I think 6 o'clock. Duke is tough. They played them last year in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. But I think one caveat you have to remember, because Iowa got blown out by Duke.
Did they?
They had to go to Cameron. Caitlin was terrible. She really, really, maybe one of her worst games of her career. But that was also Iowa. Remember they had like the 2-week COVID pause a year ago? That was during that time. They were supposed to play Drake during it. That didn't happen. That was their first game back. And they didn't practice together going into that game. It was 2 weeks. They hadn't practiced together, the full complement of the team. So maybe don't read too much into that. It's going to be a tough matchup, no doubt about it.
And when will that one be played? Do you know?
I think that's Friday. Yeah, that'll be Friday out in Seattle is where they're getting shipped off to.
Yeah, a buddy of mine was... He's into it. He could get tickets. It's not tickets that prevent you from it's getting there.
Yeah.
It's the flights to Seattle.
I saw flights if you leave Friday morning and come back Tuesday, thinking if they win to play lead eight. You get there for it was $701.
Okay. He was coming back Monday and it was $1,100.
That's what bumps it up. So if you push it back now, what are you going to do in Seattle for 3 days? Well, you can find stuff to do, obviously, but...
Well, it's not... The money thing's not... He's a dentist. It's Dr. Fuller.
Okay? Oh, okay. Yeah.
But he's got... You know, he's got a full slate of patients.
Right. And all of a sudden, you push him back to Tuesday. Right. You're not back into the office until Wednesday.
Right. And all these people that have been, waiting to get in to see him. Right. You can't do that to your folks anyways.
It was at least one decent thing on a weekend. And the biggest shocker was Spencer Lee getting stuck. That
reverberated on Twitter, Trent. Yes. And I'm talking about more than his mom. I mean, the fact that people called that the biggest upset of March Madness this weekend, in a weekend that was full of upsets.
A 16 beat Purdue.
Right.
Barely Dickinson.
Yes.
With nobody taller than 6'6".
It's just incredible.
Beat Zach Edey.
Do you see the sports information guy at Fairley Dickinson? Uh-uh. Was it there or was it Florida Atlantic? Now I want to make sure. I think it was Fairley Dickinson. He's a junior in college.
It is, yeah.
Yes.
And I heard Norlander, I think it was.
Was it?
Talking about him and said he's great. He is.
I'm sure he's great, but you never see that. A kid's still in school is your SID.
He's a junior. He's not even a senior.
Right.
He's a junior at Fairleigh Dickinson.
That's
he's their
awesome.
SID.
No, I'm not killing a story. I love this story.
And he said he is as good as an SID as you're going to find. That's... He said he is great.
So he's found his calling, unless he's got bigger plans.
And think of this kid. Now this pub that he's getting.
Great point.
He is going
it'll open some doors, right?
Yes, he's going to get a lot of interviews right away, fresh out of college at 22 years old, and he is going to be probably a name that is going to be somewhere major, wherever he wants to end up. If he's a Northeast guy, Big East, whatever it is. How about the Big East, by the way?
Jesus, I'll say.
That conference.
Yeah, how about Tom Izzo?
Yes, once again.
When am I going to learn?
Tom Izzo, did you see the record of him on the second day?
Yes.
Was it 24-7
it's
now?
It's nuts.
24-7. And how many of those times were they like this, a seven seed?
Mm-hmm. A bunch.
How many of those times he has the most wins as a team with a lower seed over higher seeds of anybody in NCAA tournament history? He is an absolute... Mm. We've seen that team. They're not that good.
I agree with you. That's why I had USC. I mean, I didn't even think twice. Yeah, USC will beat them. USC's healthy. They'll beat them. And here they are.
January, February, April.
Right. Are they the lone Big Ten team left?
They are, aren't they?
And there's two Big 12s.
Two in the Big 12.
Jeez, the two in the K-State and in Texas.
One in the Ivy.
One in the Ivy. And they're going to get beat, aren't they?
I don't know. The way they dictate
and they shoot the ball.
The way their style is incredibly difficult. And they didn't do that in the first game. That was a crazy thing, too. In the 2-15 upset, they didn't shoot it that well. Mm. They got to the free throw line like five times, only hit 3 3-pointers, and they're out there moving on to the round of 32. And Missouri looked awful.
Terrible.
They looked lethargic. Yep. They were completely out
of
it.
They trailed the whole game.
And they finally went to the press and at least got them a little bit quicker, but it was too late. They're out of the game. I'm baffled. How many times? And we look at Purdue. How have we've seen this so many times throughout the course of the year. You pressure them. And how many Big Ten coaches? Well, they do it when they're down 12 with four to go.
Right, right. Why wait?
Why wait? I'm absolutely baffled why it took until Fairleigh Dickinson to put together a game plan. Yep. But you get a coach from I-35 Truro, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I felt bad for him. I laughed. I chuckled. There's 0.5 seconds left in the game, and they're down 5, and there's Painter getting his guys together trying to draw something up on the whiteboard. I mean, come on.
Worth the shot, I guess. You know, the other thing, talking about Fairleigh Dickinson, and did you see last night in the press conference?
I didn't watch any press conferences.
I just saw a clip, and it was the moderator that always says, all right, one more question. Mm-hmm. And he said, no.
Painter did that too.
Yes, and Painter was great at it.
Yeah,
And he said, for all intents and purposes, I don't know if we're going to be back here.
Why not? I'm in no rush.
Yep.
Good for him.
Got nowhere to be.
Yeah.
We're not out of the Sweet 16. There's no film to break down now.
Right.
Let's go out there, and I will take every single one of your questions. And that guy lived the moment.
That's awesome.
as only, I mean, somebody that pulls that kind of upset.
It's incredible.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. It really was a great tournament. Tobin Anderson, credit. Mm-hmm. We love the Iowa connections.
Yep.
And they're few and far between now in the Sweet 16.
Duke paid his dues, did he not?
Yes, he
did. Oh, my God. And then
St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yes. Was it Jamie Erdahl the question? Was
I think so.
She's phenomenal.
She's great.
She's terrific. And now she's hosting Good Morning Football. Did you know that?
Yes. Yes, I did.
So she took over for another incredibly talented woman whose name escapes me.
Right. Did really good. That show's good. That show's really good. I mean, they have entertainment. Mm-hmm. They just do it a different way.
Is her name Kate?
It's not the...
I don't know.
The blabbering... All right, we're going to argue. Uh-huh. That's not my style. It's not what I enjoy. It's not the Stephen A. Smith. It's not the Skip. It's not those kind of things. Those are not the shows. Good Morning Football, they do a good job. And Erdahl...
Oh, boy, she's good.
So we had the F-bomb last night.
Yeah, we had an S-bomb at the same day. Was the F-bomb or 2 days ago?
Florida Atlanta kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, said that. And she said, it's okay, we're on True TV. Right, I mean, what? Right. How quick on your feet is that one?
She's incredible.
That was great.
And then Andy Katz had the F-bomb from Timmy.
He did. And he just let it go.
Did he?
Yeah, he just rolled with the punches there. And so the kid from Florida Atlantic said it. He, like, caught himself. He's like,
Yeah, right.
That was not the case with Timmy.
No, he didn't even. He didn't even flinch. He just kept going.
If there's one guy I'd like to have a beer with left in the NCAA tournament, I think it's Drew Timmy.
Okay.
I think I have a good time with that guy.
So who's the best team left in the tournament? Right now, well, we know who the favorites are. They're Alabama and they're Houston.
Mm-hmm.
If not them, I mean, who do you think's... Who's caught your eye? Put it that way.
UConn.
Yeah?
UConn, when they put it together, I said it before the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Three of my four are still alive. I have both those number one seeds you mentioned, UConn, and I had Kentucky.
Yeah.
At three, what was it? I bet $10 to win $3,300 to have the Final Four correct. And when the matchup with K-State was coming, I felt in great shape.
Yeah.
But UConn, the length that they have, what they do inside.
Too much Noel, Trent. There was too much Noel.
Yes.
God, he can pass the basketball.
And he was in big shots on top of it. This UConn team, though, they are an absolute problem. And what they can do, obviously, inside, you got Sanogo, who is a man yesterday. He was so, so good. Jackson is just such a different player. He guards anywhere from a point guard to a big. He can do it all defensively. He can hit shots from the outside. They have a multitude of scorers. They have depth.
They'll beat Arkansas, won't they?
Well,
I think they will.
How about
Musselman too, right?
And not just the shirts off. And I had video of it, and then I was about to post it. I'm like, well, I wonder if I'll get in trouble by the NCAA, so I didn't post it. I wish I would have. But
yeah.
I had a great video of him, zoomed in on him as he was jumping up there and calling the hogs with the crowd. But to make the decision, as they were just not playing well, and they were hanging around, but they just weren't playing well, Nick Smith is going to be a lottery pick. Mm-hmm. Nick Smith is maybe going to be a top three pick.
Wow.
Son, you're sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
And he did it right away in the game, and he did it again. And in the second half when they made that run, it was that decision to go out there and take your lottery pick. That's not easy to do.
No, it's not, Trent.
That is not easy to do. And say, you know what?
Especially if it doesn't go well, then the fan base is, well, what are you doing?
Jordan Walsh was also a top 25 kid. I mean, we're not talking about another freshman that, oh, yeah. No, this kid was also well-regarded. 6'7", with a 7'4 wingspan. And his defense, the problems that he gave Kansas, this dude will play in the league, and he'll be a guy that'll probably develop into a corner three-point shooter, and he will defend his ass off. And he is such an entertaining player to watch. He's got the bald head. He's got those Shane Batty kind of vibes to him. You know, he's a defender. He's going to annoy the crap out of you, but he is so, so good. That Arkansas-UConn game, for my money, that is the one more than... If I could only watch one, we play this game in our TV show.
Right? That would be the one. Huh?
That's the one.
And that's early
so
Thursday, right?
It is. That's the second of the early tips, 6:15, out in Vegas, too. And you'll be there for that, right?
Well, I'll be on a plane for
that.
Because I'm leaving Thursday now, and I'm on Allegiant, and of course, clubbed.
So the late afternoon window there.
I think I land at 4 o'clock Pacific, 4:30 Pacific.
So you'll be there. All right. You'll be... You can watch it on your phone.
Straight to Circa.
And straight to Circa and get set up. What a weekend. And it delivers every single
year. It really
year.
Does. It's a phenomenal. It's incredible. I'm Look, I don't know where you place it. I don't know why we have to, but it's great. This 3 weekends is just phenomenal, including the first one that's always the topper of them all, and the bad beats, the ebbs and flows, the upsets, the Cinderella. There's just so much that goes into this weekend that makes it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's unfortunate for our state, right? It's just, but at least three teams got there,
right?
So at least, and that's all they can get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way it sets up right now, there's not two teams from the Valley going to get in. But
we'll get back to that point.
Hope so, Trent. Gosh, I hope so.
I think so. There's a path. Well, we saw just a couple years ago when everybody said it couldn't happen again when mm-hmm. Creighton left, couldn't happen, and it did. And Wichita left, it can't happen. It will.
But
we'll
Drake's,
get there.
I think, in town for sitting on kind of a downward turn. By the way, Drake.
Well, they have their coach. If DeVries leaves,
couldn't agree with you more.
It's Tobin Anderson.
It absolutely is.
It's Tobin Anderson, and there's no doubt about it.
Unless there's a Power 5 school comes calling.
Well, and that's the other thing.
That's
right?
The other thing, especially if they would have won last night. Now, maybe mm-hmm. if indeed it plays out the way the rumors are that it's going to play out, maybe that will be a spot for him to come back to his home set. That'd be awesome if it did. Mm-hmm. Brody, by the way, he was the best Bulldog on the floor.
He was really good.
Oh, my God. He was unbelievable. The development in his game. What did he finish with? 20, I want to say.
Did,
he
yeah.
finished with 20. Darnell Brody was just a man amongst, excuse me, all 6'10" of them. Boy, he played his you-know-what off. Stayed out of foul trouble again for the most part. Mm-hmm. But it was DeVries. It's like history repeating itself. The Larry Bird Trophy winner mm-hmm. carries his team to this point, and Emenecker couldn't make a shot, although, again, he got to the free throw line. But it was just a bad, bad outing for Tucker DeVries. Felt terrible for him. Felt terrible for him. Calhoun, your guy, almost
yes.
sent you a text. Your pick to click that he's going to have to do something for this Drake team to make a run.
And he did.
And he did.
Mm-hmm.
He did. Played, couldn't ask for anything more. In fact, you probably got more than you would have thought. Double digits for him, getting a dozen out of him. But Miami moved on, and then they moved on again, and they find themselves in the Sweet 16. What a tournament. What else from this weekend? So Iowa, we think, will play Friday, the women.
Yes.
What did you make of the end of the game? Because it got a little chippy. I thought Clark, she embellishes so much.
Yeah.
She really does. Was it Gabby Marshall that got hit in the face?
She did.
Was.
Yeah.
That one was...
Pretty eyes as
yeah.
the as Coach
You know
Aime
what, Trent, can I stop there for a minute?
Yeah.
I'm 64.
Uh-huh.
The world has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Why are so many people having a problem with what she said? What if she would have said, oh, she's got pretty blonde hair? The girl with the pretty blonde ears, is that a problem? I guess I'm asking for the markers to mm-hmm. stay inside my lane. I don't want to veer out of it because I don't want that's the way something ends.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, you know what? Really? This is a problem now? The gal, she didn't know her name.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned what did she call her? The gal with the pretty... And that was...
People took it negative.
Oh, the majority of people took it negative. What's wrong with saying that? Would have been a guy with with the curly hair, that's not.
But I think it was the pretty kind.
Okay, so what if it was? But it's a woman. It's a woman saying
because you wouldn't say that about a guy. Have we ever described a guy in a basketball game? Oh, yeah, that guy with pretty eyes.
I call Tom Brady the best looking guy I've ever seen.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I mean, we talk. I brought up handsome guys. That guy's a good-looking dude. Yeah, we brought that up from time to time.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So why would it...
No, that's fair. You're absolutely right, because I saw that too, and I was like, really?
Yes. I was shocked.
Again, our perspective, we're a couple of white dudes. So
uh-huh.
our perspective, I understand, is different. I got a chuckle out of it. And now, did Gabby Marshall take it bad? Was it a slight of her?
If she did, I mean, yeah. She had a hell of a game yesterday.
Right. But I'm with you. I was surprised to see the online chatter about that.
Oh, my God. I'm thinking, holy crap, has the world ever changed? How do you date in today's day and age?
man, thank goodness
right?
I do not have to worry about that either.
I was surprised. If this is a lesson I need to learn, obviously mm-hmm. I'm going to learn it. I didn't say it, but I was surprised at the blowback from it.
Mm-hmm.
Again... Anyways, 11:25. Scott Dockerman will join us next. We will get into spring football, scale of 1 to 10. Where are you? 1 being not at all, 10 being bring it on, baby. Let's talk about it.
4.
Okay. I'm kind of 5.
Yeah. I was a 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night,
you realized that the basketball is over in the state.
Yep.
Yeah.
We got one team left out of the 6 that started this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We're at 4.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get there. We got things to talk about. That's always
good thing. Iowa's got some, you know, Brian Ferentz is still there. Uh-huh. There's certainly going to be some talking points that will come out. Is Brody Breck going? No, he's not going to participate in the spring. Will he in the fall? And if so, when do they need to know? Or if not, when do they need to know?
Give it to me again.
Brody Breck, does he play football this fall off the season he's having now?
That has to be a decision, yeah. That's made after the college baseball season.
But hang on a second. You know what? Maybe he's forced to. Because wasn't there used to be a rule? There's no one-and-dones in college baseball.
No, you have to play 3 years.
So
he has to be.
So he could either do dual sport mm-hmm. or just focus on one. You can't leave for baseball.
Right.
Right.
He is not eligible for this year's draft.
Right.
And there's some pitching metrics out there I see from time to time coming across my timeline.
Yeah.
Some metrics about his breaking ball along with the fastball.
I saw what you were talking about yesterday.
A completely different level than anybody in collegiate baseball. Now, the control still is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And major league teams
Randy
have to sell.
Randy Johnson had. Okay, I just used Brody Breck and Randy Johnson the same sentence. Tap the brakes. But my point being is,
when he started, Randy Johnson couldn't throw strikes.
Couldn't.
And he developed into a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
When they look at that skill set, what he has with not just that he throws 100,
mm-hmm.
combined with the off-speed stuff that he has, I saw a scout on my timeline over the weekend that said if he was eligible, he'd be the number one pick in this year's
draft. Isn't that incredible?
You can't play football. Uh-uh. You just can't.
Mm-mm. Can't risk it.
You can't. He had the hamstring injury. Now, that was a baseball injury that he had playing in summer league, but you can't do that if you're him. He's going to make that choice, right? He's going to make the choice you have to. I know he loves football. Uh-huh. I know football is his first love. Mm-hmm. You ran out.
Mm-hmm.
You go in through the tunnel. You
checked every box you wanted to.
Now it's baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Go get that check.
Yeah.
Go get your bag, son.
Right.
Football, you know what? Play flag football.
Uh-huh.
Do something like that. But your football career is over. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. Over in the intramural fields in Iowa City. Well, here's the baseball team. They're out there playing flag football. There's Brody Breck playing wide receiver for
him. Oh, my gosh. Take a small percentage of what you're going to earn playing baseball with your first contract and direct that to something in the football complex that you want your name on. Right. Leave your legacy there. Gosh, you're going to be able to afford it. The number one overall pick you've seen, huh? Jesus.
That's wild.
It really is. All right, Miller and Condon. I do want to come back. We've got to go to break because I don't want to keep Doc waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I know you watched a little bit of it on Saturday night, and so did I, and I was so glad that I did. A little taste of the World Baseball Classic.
Oh, yes.
We'll save it for later on. The passion in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the dugouts, too. Mm-hmm. In the dugouts, maybe more, just as much as in the stands. Boy, oh, boy, that means something. We'll take a time out. Come back. Miller and Condon underway on a Monday. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.4.
Total Sales.
Fill out a brief questionnaire.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO underway on a Monday. Rob Doster, Field of 68. And Nick Olson in hour number two. Nick covers the Cyclones at CycloneAlert.com. Right now, Scott Dockerman, he joins the program. Football, Hawkeye spring football starts on Wednesday. Men's season over. Women march on all the way to Seattle. And Doc and Nicole Auerbach collaborate on a piece on scheduling at The Athletic that came out on St. Patty's Day. Hello, Scott. How are you? Lots of ground to cover. How you been?
I've been great, guys. It's been busy, and it will continue to be so, but it's a good kind of busy when there's always interesting topics to discuss and write about.
Indeed. When you're busy, that's good for me and Trent because we're both subscribers and we like to read your stuff. So I want to start with the scheduling aspect that you and Nicole both worked on. I had not heard about the Flex Protect model, Doc, until I read it in the piece. Help me out with that. Is there and I guess the likelihood that this sees the light of day? I can understand why, in some respects, not knowing how USC and UCLA who they're going to fit in with. But why don't you kind of give us just an overview of that piece that you and Nicole put together on Big Ten scheduling, what it may look like?
Yeah, it's there are three different options right now that the Big Ten is kind of going through, and all of them have different angles and areas. The easier ones to remember, the straight three, because you play three teams every year and then you play the other 12 twice over a 4-year period, and that's easy to figure out. The 2-game or protection is also easy to figure out. You play 2 teams every year for 4 years or 5 years or whatever, but then over a 4-year period, you need to play everybody at least twice and 2 other teams 3 times. And then there's the flex protect, which is kind of a hybrid of the 3 and the 2 in some ways, where teams like USC, UCLA, maybe Maryland and Rutgers don't necessarily have 3 or even 2 opponents that they would like to play every year. So then maybe they just play 1. Maybe they just play each other, and then they cycle through everybody. Whereas when you look at Iowa, Iowa has 3 teams it wants to play every year. Michigan has 2. So there's really kind of this big disparity, I guess, among the schools as to what they deem is most important. And every time they seem to get close to figuring it out, then a couple of ADs back away, and they're just not sure which way they want to go. So it's probably going to be figured out by May, the May meetings, but it is complicated, and you do have to be cognizant that you may shelve a great rivalry, say like Iowa-Wisconsin, or you may force teams to play each other every year where there's really no reason to do so.
Interesting as well that the coaches have asked not to have to play at both USC and UCLA in any given year. Mm-hmm. Certainly makes sense. And from an Iowa perspective, we know how much Kirk Ferentz
led the charge, is my guess.
Going out to the West Coast. And, we have not seen any of those games scheduled since the Arizona and Arizona State games back, almost 20 years ago now, going back. So I'm going to guess Kirk was probably at the forefront, but it makes sense on the surface, doesn't it?
Well, sure it does, and it's not just him, because I think Iowa's the second closest, maybe third closest to the California school. So when you're talking about Pennsylvania or Ohio or Maryland or whatever, I mean, that is getting pretty far in the air, and of course they have to come the other way. But I think it is reasonable that, nobody minds going out there once a year. It's the twice a year that really bugs them, especially when you're starting to talk about, getting back really late at night. And it is one thing to come from that part of the world, especially if you're playing a night game in November and then get back to the Eastern time zone. You're losing 3 hours coming east, and they still are students. So you gotta be cognizant of that. So I think that's really where it's at. I expect that to happen. That is something that they seem to be very grounded with. But that also means what kind of permanent opponents are you going to have? Does it Nebraska, for instance, if it's 3 or 2, does it become one of them with UCLA? I would expect it to be that way. But there's just a lot of different things that they're still working through. And one of the things that kind of gets reiterated to us is, look, we still have time. It doesn't have to be this fall. It's still a fall away. I mean, we'd like to have it solved, of course, but it still has some time left.
And if it is going to be solved, please be solved in June, July, or August. Trent,
we need that content,
vote, right?
Yeah.
Got your vote on that, Doc. Let's get to spring football in a second. Let's interrupt the football conversation. You were at Carver yesterday. Place was banged out. It was great to see. It looked terrific on television. Really did. Entertaining game. Kind of got close at times, and Iowa pulls it out. Got a little nasty at the end, Doc, which is it's a big spot for both teams, right? Just your thoughts on the game. Caitlin Clark said it wasn't her best game, but they kind of tried to take her out of her game. She had a kind of an off game for her for a reason, I thought. Georgia deserves a little credit on how they were able to lock her down to the extent they did.
Sure, they did a really nice job defensively, I thought, on Iowa. And it wasn't just on Caitlin Clark. I thought they were very physical on defense, but they have great length and athletic ability, and it was really hard for Iowa to get the ball to the post. They really had to give up on bounce passes. It just wasn't a way to get the ball inside to Monica Zanano through the bounce. I mean, there were just too many fingers in that area. So, but they found a way to manufacture a victory, and it was kind of difficult with them without Hannah Stolke, who had an ankle injury. They expect her to play this weekend, but it's still difficult. And Molly Davis went down with a knee, and it looked really serious at the time, but she came back in for a little bit and then didn't play the rest of the way. So they largely went, their starting five, all of them played 37 plus minutes. So yeah, that was pretty tough, but the ending I thought was kind of low class by Georgia. The two major fouls, intentional fouls in the last 3.5 seconds, it's frustrating. I get it. I've seen it, and we've all felt it, you know, when our team loses. But at the same time, you've got to handle yourself with a little bit more dignity than that. And I thought, you know, especially the one with Caitlin Clark, that was just uncalled for, you know. And so that'd be like targeting in college football. In some ways, you sit out for a half of your next game.
So the bracket opens up with Stanford getting beat last night by Ole Miss. Now, likely going to see Duke in the Sweet 16. That's going to be an incredibly difficult matchup out there in Seattle. But if Iowa wins two more games, gets to a Final Four, first time in 30 years that that has happened, and women's college basketball is a lot different today than it was 30 years ago, and the Caitlin Clark show and what's going to happen, what does that mean for not just Iowa women's basketball, but just women's basketball in general, having this kind of star get to the ultimate pinnacle and get to a Final Four?
It's massive. It's as big as anything they could possibly get. Mm-hmm. And so having this path clear for Iowa doesn't mean they're going to get there. I mean, they're going to have some difficult situations, but it is a little bit more clear. I mean, not having Stanford there. So if they can pull through and win these two games and get to the Final Four, you're on the biggest stage, and it'll be the best player or the most exciting player against the best team in mm-hmm. South Carolina in the national semifinals. That's exactly what I'm sure women's basketball would want, because you will bring millions of viewers to that telecast. It won't just be, I mean, and I'm sure yesterday's viewership was pretty high, probably a million plus, I would mm-hmm. guess.
ABC, so, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know, so I would expect this to fly through the roof. Plus, as you mentioned, Ken, the sound, I mean, my ears were ringing an hour after the fact.
Really?
I've not heard a game, even the Iowa-Indiana game, was not as persistently loud for all 2+ hours. It was like an average of 93+ decibels throughout the game, and then it spiked around 118. So it was just unreal. I mean, how loud they were. And if they go to Dallas, I would expect a significant amount of Iowa fans going.
It was unbelievable. And you tracked that, the decibel. So the 118 you referred to, is that the highest your meter has gone in some time?
No, the loudest I've ever recorded it at an arena, I've done this about the last 3 to 4 years, was Caitlin Clark's shot against Indiana. Went to 119. But at the end, it was 118. I think it was when with the push and then right afterwards when Caitlin Clark put her hand to her ear. I think that's what it went up to, 118 in the arena. So,
and then her mom waving goodbye. They didn't show that, I'm guessing, on the Jumbotron, but mom waving goodbye to Georgia as they left the floor was good.
It really was. So the women's team advances on the men's team. Another one and done back-to-back years. One and done in the tournament. And a biggie offseason, it feels like, for Fran McCaffrey's squad. Retooling of the roster, those veterans moving on, Connor and Rabracha, Chris Murray, he'll depart to the NBA. When you look at this offseason, are we overstating just how important it is to kind of get roster construction? And if you're going to make any changes, big changes in what they do philosophically, it feels like this is a big one to me.
Yeah, and I don't expect anything to change there. It's even more so than I thought. There might be a chance on Brian Ferentz leaving. I don't think there's any chance of anything changing with men's basketball. But I think you're right, Trent, that I think they have to hit the portal, or it's going to be dead before it starts. Yeah. I mean, to lose the pieces that they lost, Connor McCaffrey was the glue. Chris Murray was the All-American. Philip Rabracha, to me, was the MVP of this team. I thought he really played well. And you're losing them. You don't know who may go also in the portal. I mean, it's really unpredictable at this point. But I think you can look at this season in two different lenses. One is, this was probably the ending that you would expect for a team that finished 19-14. Losing an 8-9 game in a basically a road environment, that's probably about right for this team. However, when you look holistically, 97 schools have been to a more recent Sweet 16 than Iowa has, and only 12 out of the 76 Jeez. Power Six teams have missed the Sweet 16 like Iowa since 99. And out of those 12, only 5 have fewer than Iowa's one Sweet 16 appearance since 1989. So when you're looking at this, you're going, there's great interest and there's great history, but there's no tradition anymore. I mean, you can get to the tournament, and they have 5 years in a row, but if you can't do anything like that, that's like going to being a 6-6 or 7-5 bowl team every year. It's just you're just there. And I think that right now that's something that I think Iowa fans need to reconcile, whether that means applying pressure on Fran McCaffrey to do more in March, or it means something different, or whatever. You've got to advance. I mean, you and I is advanced to Sweet 16. Iowa State's advanced to the Sweet 16. And then you start to look at the really small schools. I mean, Princeton's now in the Sweet 16. Yeah. Iowa has not. And Iowa's lost to lower seeds several times. So I think this is a point where, you know, if there's nothing that changes, then apathy, I think, will be probably what we'll prescribe for the next year plus.
Whew, going to be a busy next few months. Doc, real quick, spring football starts on Wednesday. You've outlined it at The Athletic, six things, six storylines that Hawkeye fans should keep an eye on. Of the six, what's number one? I mean, I don't know if you rank them in order. Offense obviously has got to be at the top. That was the first one in your story, so we'll start there.
Oh, sure. I think it's really how the offense changes or adapts, if there is any adaption. I think that's what everybody's going to look for and probably overly scrutinize it. And likewise, that leads into quarterback and how much will Cade McNamara compete in the spring and how much will he be able to do. But largely to me, I think the most important element is what happens with offensive line. I think if they can show progress, and they're going to go against a good defensive line every day in practice. So if they can show progress, I think then it's a winning spring. If not, then I think it could be we could be right back to where we were last year, and I don't want to ever go back to that place again.
Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. Doc, we will talk to you in a few weeks, I'm understanding. You're heading out of the country.
Yep.
Good for you.
Yeah. I needed a break. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to going around the world.
Indeed you are. Scott, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Safe travel. Have fun. Enjoy it. And we'll talk to you when you get back. Thank you, Doc. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you. Scott Dockerman from The Athletic, as we check in on the Hawkeyes and the Big Ten and the scheduling. And what do you want to see? Three?
Well, from an Iowa perspective, yeah.
I think it makes, I mean, if we could wave your magic. I mean, that's not the case for every Big Ten school, obviously. But we don't really care about it. Well, we care most about Iowa, right? So,
I mean, we remember the years and the leaders and legends that we didn't get Iowa,
awful.
Wisconsin.
It's terrible.
You can't have a fall without Iowa playing
Wisconsin.
You
have to have that. And Gophers, too. And then the Black Friday is something now.
You know that Minnesota is my favorite rivalry game. And it's important because of where I grew up and family and everything else.
Yep.
That is my favorite one. And for people on the west side of the state, it's Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And those rivalries are just too important for them to go away. Ultimately, how much sway does Gary Barta have? How much power does he have in that? I wouldn't guess very much, but that's a different conversation.
All right, we'll come back, finish up the hour. Rob Doster kicks off hour number two, Iowa State Conversation at 12:30 with Nick Olson, Miller and Condon on a Monday. Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
For tickets today.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, welcome back. Final couple of minutes. First hour of the program. Rob Doster, Field of 68, Nick Olson, CycloneAlert.com, hour two. A minute or two on the World Baseball Classic that I found myself, I missed the Grand Slam.
I
dipped out the inning before it happened, Trey Turner's Grand Slam, when the Venezuelan pitcher got the strikeout, which was a borderline pitch, but just the joy, the exuberance that he showed walking off the mound. Trent, the players absolutely love it. The fans are so into this. It's sad, as baseball guys, that it gets lost in the shuffle.
Absolutely.
There's just nowhere to put it.
Yet tonight, I'm going to be watching Mexico-Japan.
Are you?
And we had to look during the break, and we found out that the championship will be played on Tuesday. Tomorrow night, we'll get Team USA against the winner of tonight. So, yeah, it's going to be certainly part of the rotation. And tomorrow night,
FS1 for TV tomorrow night,
yes,
by the way.
Going to be locked and loaded
for
that one.
Me too.
It's going to be really, really cool. Just hearing Adam Wainwright, he was talking the other day, just about, I've never experienced anything like this. And it's just a completely different feeling, having that Team USA across your chest and hearing the chants all throughout the game of USA, USA. It said it's something that you can't envision. You can't until you experience.
Right.
It's something different here. An event that there's nowhere else to put it. You can't put it at the end of the season. It just, nobody would play.
Can't shorten the regular season. No. The owners wouldn't go for it.
Could you do something where...
Can't do it. Yeah, the end.
Hockey does with the Olympics.
They take a two-week break?
Right. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Is that something that would work in July around the All-Star break, something like that, the week after, and take a couple of weeks off? Well, then you're talking about dropping down to 144 games, something like that. Well,
the owner's not into that.
Comes down to money. It was a really, really cool experience.
How about the Venezuelan unis, by the way? Boy, did they jump off the screen. My God.
Yes, they did.
Whew.
Locked and loaded.
That was
tomorrow.
Great theater. It was terrific theater. I missed the granny. But I'm in tomorrow. I'm totally
I had four
in.
Screens up on my laptop did at you? Wells Fargo. I had wrestling.
So the Wi-Fi was good, apparently.
It was excellent.
Good stuff.
And World Baseball Classic, along with the two other games going on at that time.
Hour two next, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KX.